Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We appreciate you joining us. We invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things, from the very first to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." Now in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the 6th month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias, and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Verses 1 through 45, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the powerful and the wonderful account of the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as found in your word, the book of Matthew, chapters 1 and 2, and Luke 1 and 2. And Lord, thank you for the many different sides of this beautiful story that we call the Christmas story. And thank you for the many ways that our lives are blessed as we hear and learn truths and insights found in this powerful, powerful story of the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into the world at that first Christmas. Lord, help us all to grow greatly in our understanding of the wonderful place that, of course, Christmas is to have in our lives and the meaning of Christmas that and the message behind it. Help us to recognize, Lord, that Jesus Christ was and is the greatest gift the world has ever known. And stir us, Lord, to not only be grateful for that fact, but stir us to become brighter and brighter shining witnesses that are involved every day of our life, telling the world who Jesus is and then telling them about the salvation that he's brought into the world. Thank you for the wonderful gift of Jesus. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We appreciate you tuning in and being a part of our listening family. We appreciate all of you that are tuned in to Urban Family Talk. Let me remind you that I want to encourage you to take time to go to our website. Our website is urbanfamilytalk.com, urbanfamilytalk.com. Browse there and you can take a look at some of the articles that are there and just some of the features that are on the website. But we appreciate you just plugging in and taking a look at what's there. Also want to remind you, we want to encourage you to plug into the Churban also, which is our chat room specifically connected to our website. But also, of course, we're grateful to have our listeners that are listening, whatever means whereby they're listening. Some maybe through Facebook, others through Africa TV. But whatever means, we appreciate you joining us today. Please pray much for the ministry of Africa TV. We appreciate that so very much. Let me remind you also, too, during the Christmas season, during the Advent season, I want to encourage you to take the time to read all the way through the Christmas narratives. Now, remember, the Christmas narratives is just a fancy word for Christmas stories. But the quote-unquote Christmas story is found in the Gospel of Matthew chapters 1 and 2, in Luke chapters 1 and 2. And one of the reasons why I really emphasize that is because many people go throughout the whole Christmas season often. Some people have never read the entire Christmas stories and narratives as found in those chapters. Often people may read Luke chapter 2, which is a wonderful part of the story, but they fail to read more about Luke chapter 1. And Luke chapter 1 is a powerful account of both Elizabeth and her husband and Mary and her husband, but it's an account, a wonderful account about two expecting women who had miraculous conceptions and with some unique stories and aspects of the Christmas story. So Luke chapter 1 is very, very powerful. Be sure and go through and read Luke chapter 1. Obviously, Matthew chapter 1, it lays out the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And, you know, sometimes when you're reading the Bible and you read about genealogies, people make the big mistake of thinking, well, that's the boring part, I'm going to skip over it. Every name has an important place in the Word of God. So read the genealogies, too. That's a wise thing to do. Also, again, it lays out the basic story of Jesus. And then in chapter 2, it deals with the coming of the wise men and also the tragedy of the slaughter of innocents in Bethlehem as well. And it speaks of Joseph and God speaking to him several times through dreams. So the stories are powerful, they're wonderful, they're full of grace, full of wonder, full of mystery, but they're wonderful aspects and sides to the Christmas story. Be sure that you take time both to read through Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2 several times during the Christmas season. But also don't stop there just reading them yourselves. Encourage and read them with your family and encourage friends and relatives and co-workers and others read them as well, because again, for many people, it will be the first time in their whole life that they've read the whole Christmas story. And you might think, well, no, everybody's read it. No, they haven't. A whole lot of people have never read it. So you be the one to encourage them to do it, and you will bless them for doing just that. Today, we're specifically focusing on the topic of the priority of discipling our children, the priority of discipling our children. You know, we talk often about making disciples. The Great Commission tells us to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. We're to make disciples of people, and discipleship is the process of sharing the gospel so people can know that Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved. But once they're saved, once they've made that step, we need to help and encourage people to grow up in their faith, to learn to become followers of Jesus Christ. And so all of us as believers are to be involved in the work of making disciples. Now, tragically, you have many believers that maybe they attend a church or have been in church circles where no one has ever taught them. It's their responsibility, too. Sometimes people make this mistake of thinking, well, that's what preachers do, and that's what missionaries are supposed to do, but I'm just a regular bench member. Now, of course, you won't find the term bench member in the Bible. It's not there, okay? God calls us to make disciples, so we're all to be involved in making disciples. In other words, God, the Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Coach, is calling all of the players out on the field. He doesn't want any on the sidelines or in the stands. Too many are in the stands and on the sidelines. He's calling all of us out. So keep in mind, all of us are to be on the field making disciples. And so specifically, we're talking to those that are parents in particular. But keep in mind, now some of you may say, well, I'm not a parent yet. Well, that's okay. One day you may very well be. These are important tips and truths that you can learn from and draw from as well. So it's very important that we're taking this very, very seriously. Well, just in a nutshell, just to kind of summarize some of what we'll be talking about today is the steps and the building blocks of discipling our children. Now, of course, keep in mind this very important point that obviously as parents, we should regularly be taking our children to church. We should take them on a weekly basis to church, to Sunday school, to Bible study. Those are just givens. Now, the sad reality is we live in a culture where there are a lot of people who have decided for whatever reason, I don't need to go to church. And sadly, because they're not doing it, and if they have children, they're not taking their children either. Well, parents, again, you're falling down on the job if you're not getting your children in church, because, again, the Word of God clearly says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Our children are too precious for them to not learn. Now, we need to know. We need to take God's Word seriously. So we need to be taking our children to church, but also it goes far beyond that. You don't stop there. You also teach them how to walk with the Lord for yourself. So that's a part of what we'll be touching on today. Lord, thank you for the gift, the wonderful gift of children. And thank you for how that your word lets us know. It tells us in Psalm 127 that children are a reward from the Lord. Lord, help us to grow in the understanding of the fact that children are precious in your sight. And when you entrust children to the parents, that's all that has happened. You've simply entrusted them to the parents. The children still belong to you. And we as parents are to take this as a great responsibility and a great opportunity to touch and impact the lives of these children for today and for this life and for all eternity as well. Lord, anoint us as parents with wisdom and grace to be very effective in disciple-making, helping our children to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, but then helping them to learn to pray and to learn to read and study the Word of God for themselves, to learn also how to apply the Word of God, to walk in the wisdom of your word. Lord, help us to know, Lord, this is a great responsibility, a very important responsibility, but a great privilege as well. Help us as parents to never, ever take it for granted that we've been given this very important opportunity to mold and shape our children to be what you've called them to be. Thank you for the opportunity to be involved in this very, very important work and help us to take it very, very seriously every day of our lives. Lord, we love you, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We're looking at the topic of the priority of discipling our children. We'll be right back.
We are going to the Holy Land in March. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. I only lead one tour a year to Israel. It's not my day job. It's just an annual tour that I do as I learn from my dad how to take folks to Israel. And we're going to have a wonderful experience. Most of the folks going are listeners to American Family Radio or supporters of American Family Association. And we're going to have a great time March 9th through the 17th. If you want information on this tour of the Holy Land, you can do it two ways. You can call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5. 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5. That's families with an S. And leave us your name and your address, and we'll put a brochure in the mail to you. And if you want to go online, you can visit us at twholyland.com. twholyland.com. Again, won't be long till we close out this tour, so if you want more information, let us know.
This whole idea of, I'm an independent woman, I got me, I got this, is not something a woman of God should say, or any believer for that matter. Today's society is so focused on self-indulgence that seeking the Lord and His will is so last decade. A life full of purpose and blessings can only occur for those who are like Jesus. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He tells the Lord, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 says, "There are many plans in a person's mind, but it is the counsel of the Lord which will stand." The thing is, a fulfilled life is one who seeks the Creator of life. To sum it up, don't go after your dreams. Go after what God has called you to do. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at urbanfamilytalk.com. This new season I'm in, I have the awesome privilege of speaking to teens about abstinence. One day we got on abortion, and I explained to the group of girls it's murder and how every child is a gift from God. I had a few girls to come up with every excuse why it's okay to abort. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, because He will lead you with just the right thing to say. I emphasized to the girls on counseling with a Christian advisor and the option of adoption. After class, many of the girls were interacting with me about various things that were discussed that day. One quiet girl summoned me over and whispered in my ear, "I was adopted." Romans chapter 8 verse 15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Those who confess Jesus as Lord have been adopted into the kingdom of God. For a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Do you see it?
music of Denise Williams, the song Do You Hear What I Hear? Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for tuning in, and grateful to have all of our listeners that are joining us and those that are joining us in the chat room and in the Churban as well. And glad to have Pastor Carl. Listen, Pastor Carl, if you have any comments you want to add as a fellow pastor, please feel free to share. We're looking today at the topic of the priority of discipling our children. And I want to start off this segment by sharing a very touching story from a mom by the name of Pam, who knows the pain of considering abortion at a difficult time in her life. More than 24 years ago, Pam and her husband Bob were serving as missionaries in the Philippines and praying for a fifth child. Pam contracted a disease called amoebic dysentery, an infection of the intestine caused by a parasite found in contaminated food or drink. She went into a coma and was treated with strong antibiotics before they discovered that she was pregnant. Doctors urged her to abort the baby for her own safety and told her that the medicines had caused irreversible damage to her baby. She refused the abortion and cited her Christian faith as the reason for her hope that her son would be born without the devastating disabilities physicians were predicting. And of course, it's important for us to remember, doctors aren't God. Well, Pam said the doctors didn't think of it as a life. They thought of it as a mass of fetal tissue, and they were trying to convince her that it really wasn't a baby at all. Well, while Pam was pregnant, she nearly lost her baby four times, but she refused to consider abortion. No matter what she went through with all the difficulty she was experiencing, she decided to trust God and move forward in her pregnancy. She recalled making a pledge to God with her husband. If you'll give us a son, we'll name him Timothy, and we'll make him a preacher. Pam ultimately spent the last 2 months of her pregnancy in bed on bed rest and eventually gave birth to a healthy baby boy on August 14, 1987. Pam's youngest son did, in fact, become a preacher. He preaches in prisons, makes hospital visits, and serves with his father's ministry in the Philippines. He also became a football player. The baby's name was Tim Tebow. The University of Florida's star quarterback became the first sophomore in history to win the college's highest award, the Heisman Trophy. And today, Tim Tebow continues to spread the gospel as an athlete. Actually, is kind of dabbling in Major League Baseball, I think, as well. But again, he continues to be an inspiration. But the story is a powerful story about parents that trusted God and committed their child to God in prayer. To every parent listening, I want to remind you, parents, it's very important for us to dedicate our children to God. Now, remember this. You can dedicate them to the Lord long before they get here. You should pray over them when they're in the womb. You should pray for them when they're born. You should pray for them when they're toddlers, when they're baby, arm babies and toddlers. You need to pray for them when they're in elementary school. Pray much for them when they're in middle school. And you sure enough need to pray for them when they're in high school. But obviously, you pray for them when they're in college. And don't make the mistake of thinking, though, well, now that they've finished college, I've finished my job. No, parents, you're just getting started. Your job is not over till one of you goes home to be with the Lord. So keep in mind, all your life, parents, you have the very important responsibility of praying much for your children, but also teach them how to pray. It's very important that we're teaching and training our children how to pray. And so remember, it's our responsibility to always, always do that kind of, to take that responsibility of praying for our children very, very seriously. So as we share some of the truths here that we're looking at today, I want you to take them seriously. In fact, I want to encourage every parent listening, take notes, because these are things we need to be working on. These are things that each of us need to be doing and that we as the church need to be teaching and training our people to do to disciple their children as well. And so earlier I spoke about taking our children to church. It's sad how many nowadays parents aren't going to church and therefore they're not taking their children either. Now, it used to be that sometimes you'd have parents that would at least send their children to church. Well, that's better than nothing. But to be quite honest, parents, if you're sending your children to church and you're not going, remember this, they are watching what you do. And sadly, too many children will come to the conclusion, well, when I become grown, I'm going to do like daddy or mama. I'm going to stay at home and skip church too. Now, again, them getting to church is very important if you end up sending them. But remember, it's much better to take them to church, to let them see you going to church and let them see you worshiping God as role models. Remember, your what you see, your children are learning from that. I'm reminded of the story of the little boy that went to church one day, and he saw a particular gentleman, and he walked up to him, an older gentleman, and the little boy, he was probably about 7 or 8 years old, he started walking in circles, looking the man up and down, looking him up and down and up and down. Finally, the older gentleman said to him, "Boy, what are you looking at?" And he said, "My daddy said you was two-faced, and I was looking for your other face." Well, daddy said something in front of the little boy he shouldn't have said. The fact is, parents, we have to be careful what we say and do before our children, because they are learning from what we do as well as listening to what we say. So let's pray, parents, that God will help us to be good role models living before our children in a way that they can follow in our footsteps rather than doing things that would cause us to be embarrassed when they demonstrate that they're listening and learning what we're doing behind closed doors. So it's important then for us to take our children to church on a regular basis. And at home, though, much and most of the work that you do in discipling your children should happen at home. We must teach and train our children to read God's word every single day. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We must teach and train our children to read God's word. And one of the most touching and encouraging memories I have as a dad from years ago with my children is having them to read the word of God out loud. I enjoyed that. Now, sometimes they acted like they were being tortured, but I enjoyed listening to them read the word of God. And it's a funny memory for me to think back when sometimes I'd have them to read and sometimes act like they were in pain having to read. But time and time again, even though they kind of had an attitude when they'd start off, after a while the attitude would go away and you could tell they were being drawn into the word of God. And parents, always be mindful of this very important fact, is that even if the children don't appreciate you making them read the word of God, they need to understand reading the word, it's kind of like telling them to eat your greens. It's good for you. The word of God ministers to your mind, body, and spirit, and it will bless tremendously. So it's very important to understand, and parents, just that establishing the habit of having them to read the word of God out loud is so, so important. And don't make the mistake of, you know, like sometimes you have parents that when their children act like they don't want to do something, parents, sometimes they just get cold feet. "Oh, well, don't worry about it." Parents, have your children to read the word of God out loud, even if they don't want to, even if they act like they're being tortured. Remember, it's good for them. It ministers their mind, body, and spirit. The word of God is pure light. So when we help our children to read the word of God, it's going to bless them tremendously. And as I've been talking about the Christmas stories, you know, the Christmas season, the Advent season, is a wonderful season to do much discipleship with our children, because there's so many issues and truths all around Christmas and the theme of Christmas that are so easy to take and tie to Jesus Christ and tie to the word of God. Again, all the Christmas stories, as you have your children to read them out loud, again, inevitably they'll be drawn into those stories. The stories of the wise men, the story of the tragic killing of the innocents, the story of God speaking to Joseph in four separate dreams, and the shepherds who are coming in and to witness the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, to witness his birthplace, and just so many different sides to the wonderful story of Christmas. It's so easy to talk to our children about spiritual truths that will bless them and encourage them. So let's make that an important goal as well. And so I want to encourage you, and in just a few moments we want to try to get to some of the insights or the comments from some of those in the Cherubin and the chat room. But I want to remind you that we need to know the basic building blocks of us as parents, the building blocks we use to disciple our children. Yes, we need to take them to church. Yes, we need to teach them to read the Word of God out loud. Yes, we need to help them to learn how to pray. Part of them learning how to pray is, again, as parents, we pray with our children. We pray for them. And parents, it's good for your children to hear you pray out loud, calling their name out loud as well. And also have the children to pray some as well. Even the ones that say, "Well, I'm shy," or "I don't know how to pray." Well, that's what you're doing. You're teaching and training them. You teach them to pray the Lord's Prayer. You teach them to pray the Prayer of Jabez. You teach them to pray the Ten Commandments. These are all discipleship tools that are both great for the children to pray, but they're also learning as they pray them as well. So teaching your children to pray is very, very important. I'm reminded of an instance once my oldest son, Joseph Jr., he'd lost his favorite sunglasses. And so I said, "Joseph, if you pray and ask the Lord to help you find him." And he said, "No." And so he He prayed, and then I noticed he stopped looking for them. I said, well, you prayed now. Aren't you going to look for them? He said, let Jesus find them. Well, no, that's not quite the point. Now, in other words, you pray, but then you do your part. Because many times once you prayed, God will show you or help you to find it. But remember, God is not going to do for you what you can do for yourself. He's going to bless your efforts. But you have a part to play. Just like if you say, Lord, bless me with a job. Well, you ask God to give you a job. Then you go to the employment office or you go look online. You go looking. You don't pray, say, Lord, give me a job, and then go lay on the couch and watch TV all day long. Well, somebody may go out there and get your job while you're at home watching TV. You have a part to play too. So you pray and believe that God is going to do for you what you can't do for yourself, but you have a part to play in the process of praying. And then you listen to the Lord and you trust him for wisdom and you do your part as well. So we must teach our children how to pray and then to do their part in receiving the answer to their prayers as well. And then also, parents, I want to say this very clearly. It's good for us often to invite our children to pray, to commit their lives to Christ at home as well as at church. Why is that true? Because many children will make the step of accepting Christ as Lord and Savior at home. Too often, parents will sometimes think, well, I hope they'll get saved when they get to church. Well, that's good and fine. But again, sometimes it may not be in that setting where the Spirit of God really touches their heart. So it's wise and important for us to take the time and opportunity to invite them to receive Christ often at home. For example, inviting your children to pray a prayer of salvation on a regular basis is wise. Now, of course, once they're saved, they don't have to pray again to get saved. They can pray to recommit their hearts to the Lord. But once they've committed their lives to Christ, praying and recommitting their hearts often is a wise thing to do. But the reality is, one of the wisest things for us as parents to do is to often invite them to commit or recommit their hearts to the Lord at home as well as in a church setting as well. Now, I do have a question from the chat room. It says, what should you do if you don't have children yet? What can you do to disciple your children if you don't have them yet? Well, certainly, you can begin to pray for your children long before they get here. You can pray things like, Lord, help my child to receive you at an early age. You can pray, Lord, help my child to come to have a great love for your word. Help my child to fully commit their lives to you, Lord. Help my child to plug into the right career or calling. Or help my child to meet and marry the right young man, the right young woman. Now, you might say, well, can you pray all that in advance? Sure you can. Because remember, in the truest sense of the word, your prayer doesn't know time or distance. So you can pray well in advance. And in fact, you can pray for many things that you may not ever, some of which you may not ever see the fruition of them. Just like today, we as, for example, in the African-American community, we are tremendously blessed by the prayers of many of our ancestors. We had ancestors that were slaves that prayed, Lord, don't let my child have to live in bondage like I do. And God answered those prayers. Well, the fact is there are many prayers that our parents or grandparents or great-grandparents pray that we're receiving the benefit of, and we'll never know anything about it till we get to heaven. But the important thing is that through prayer, you can lay a foundation of blessing for your children, for your grandchildren, for your great-grandchildren. So you don't have to wait till they get here to start praying for them. God knows them long before you do. So praying for them before they get here is a very wise thing to do. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us to lift our children up in prayer before they come. Once they arrive, as they're growing up, and even long after they're gone from home, help us to remember that we always have a great responsibility and need to pray much for our children. Anoint us afresh with a spirit of prayer to pray vibrantly and faithfully for our children at every age. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back after this prayer.
Listen to Stacy on the Right with Stacy Washington on Urban Family Talk. She's sharp.
I mean, did you hear that?
Pointed.
Remember that you're not only a Christian on Sunday.
And insightful.
Deception and lies have been accepted as the norm from the Democrats.
But most of all, she's on the right.
That scripture from the Bible that says the heart of the fool inclines to the left just kept popping into my mind.
It's Stacy on the Right. Weekday afternoons at 2 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Hi, I'm Cedric. When I was a teenager, marijuana led me to cocaine, and for the next two decades, I was a crack addict. And when I came to Teen Challenge, I was hopeless. But I'm free.
If you know an adult or teenager who's struggling with a chemical addiction, Teen Challenge can help. Call us today at 417-581-2181 or reach us online at teenchallengeusa.com. This is Urban Family Talk.
Dr. Tony Evans says there's no question about it. The Christian life can be hard. But there's an even more important question he'll consider today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
You know, Indiana Jones was my boy. I love Indy. I think it was about four of them. Indiana Jones, all of them was about the same thing. He's trying to get to some expensive treasure, some relic of great value. But to get to the treasure, he had to go through some stuff. He ducking arrows and ducking spears and ducking boulders rolling at him, and he's ducking caverns that would suck him down into the fire. I mean, the whole series is about him ducking stuff to get to a treasure. Now, there's only one reason that you go through all that, and that is the treasure is worth the trouble. So you know what? We've got to decide whether the treasure is worth the trouble. We've got to decide whether the experience of the knowledge of God is worth the stuff I've got to go through to get it. When I watch Indiana Jones, one thing you'll always see, the closer he got, the worse the opposition got. The closer he got to that treasure, more problems showed up, more enemies showed up, because he was closing in on it. So if your stuff is getting worse, you getting close. If your stuff keeps going downhill while you looking up, you inching in. If your stuff is collapsing while you are drawing near, you may be closer than you think. So now is not the time to stop. Now is not the time to give up. Close in on that treasure, because when you discover it, you will discover it was worth the trouble to get there.
Dr. Evans explains more about the treasure God put inside us in his teaching series, Comforting the Afflicted, available online at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Come adore on bended knee.
The music of Forever Jones, the song Gloria, some of their Christmas music. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We're looking today at the topic of the priority of discipling our children. And, you know, Pastor Carl alluded to this very important truth to remember that, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And, you know, it's important for us to know and understand that as believers, but also parents, it's important for us to understand that reality for our children too. That's why it's so wise for us to teach and train our children to fill up on the Word of God every single day. Remember, the Bible refers to the devil as being like a roaring lion, seeking whom he walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. When our children don't have the Word of God rooted in their heart and their life, they don't have the guide that the Word of God is to us. Remember, the devil loves to destroy children. And that's been true throughout history, and it's true today. And when children don't have the anchor of the Word of God, the compass, the guidance of God's Word, many times they make decisions that lead to trouble, to difficulty, and sometimes, sadly, early death. So parents, it's so important for us to teach and train our children to read the Word of God and to walk in its wisdom as well. The Bible's a book full of wisdom. It'll bless us tremendously as we hear it and put it to work. We're going to take time now to pray the Ten Commandments, and I want to invite you to pray it with me, okay? Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Help us today, Lord, to put you first. Help us, Lord, this day to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Lord, help us to not steal. Help us to not kill. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Now, keep in mind, praying the Ten Commandments is a wise thing for every believer to do every day. But also, it's a very wise thing, parents, for us to teach and train our children to do every day as well. Because remember, amongst other things, when you pray, prayer releases the Holy Spirit to work. Do you need help being more effective at whatever you do in life? Ask God to help you. And the Holy Spirit knows exactly how to help you. So praying every day is such a wise thing to do, because remember, when we work, but when we pray, God works. And no matter what you can do, God can do it a whole lot better. So keep that very important point in mind. We've been talking about the building blocks of discipling our children. We talked about the importance of taking them to church, not just sending them to church, but taking them to church. Also, we also talked about the fact that even before you have children, you can pray for God to bless them and mold them and shape them into what he wants them to be. We're to teach and train them to read the Word of God, and we're to teach and train them to pray, and we're to model a life of prayer before our children and model a life of reading the Word of God as well. And keep in mind, the Bible, amongst other things, is a book full of wisdom, and our children need wisdom even at a young age. Everybody needs wisdom. I'm reminded of an instance where this little girl, I guess she was about 9 or 10, she was telling her little sisters, she was sharing some wisdom for little girls. She said, when mama is mad at daddy, don't let her brush your hair. Sounds like good advice to me, especially for little girls with lots and lots of hair, okay? And also another little fella, he was sharing some wisdom with some of his buddies. He said, if you go to a picnic and take your dog, don't trust him to guard your food if you have to go to the bathroom. Well, again, good wisdom for little fellas to pass on to other fellas that have dogs as well. No matter how much your dog loves you, he may love the food on your plate a little bit more than he loves you. So, again, wise advice from a little fella there. Well, again, we're to teach and train our children to read the Word of God. And one of the ways, parents, whereby we do that is we have them to read out loud to us every day. And sometimes the children may do it, sure, Dad, sure, Mom. And then sometimes they may act like, oh, Mom or Daddy, I got to finish my game, or I'm too tired to read, I don't feel like reading, or I got to sleep. Now, kids come up with, they pull all kind of excuses out of the thin air. Have them read anyway. It's good for them. Remember, God's Word ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. And remember, God's Word is pure light. So when you have your children read out loud to you, it will bless them, and it will bless you as well. Because most parents like to hear the voices of their children. Now, I say most. I think the vast majority do. Not necessarily ours, but the vast majority actually do, whether they're listening to their children out loud or whether they're listening by phone. But parents like to hear the sound of their children's voices. So when you're reading the Word of God, it'll bless them and it'll bless you as well. But also it's important to know, too, in the midst of our parenting, you know, we have struggles, but we trust God to keep going anyway because they really are learning, even when we don't realize they're learning. I'm reminded of an instance where a father, he had a little boy that in church, and the little boy was standing up on the bench and doing this and that and just seemed like he was getting into this and that. And finally, the father had just had enough. He picked up his son, his six-year-old son, and headed out to the vestibule. And the little boy, he stopped all his playing and carrying on. And all of a sudden, he realized Dad is serious now. And he realized Judgment Day is coming. And as he headed out the back door, just before he went out the back door of the sanctuary, he said out loud to the congregation, "Y'all pray for me." Well, apparently, he learned an important prayer lesson that when you get in trouble, you better pray. Well, our children do learn lessons from these kinds of things. They need to learn, but now, of course, they need to know, don't pray just when you get in trouble. Pray anyhow, in the sunshine and in the rain. But they do learn these lessons, and they're important lessons, life lessons to learn, too. Also, keep in mind, too, we're to teach and train our children to walk with God every single day. Every day is a day to read the Bible. Every day is a day to pray. Every day is a day to listen to the Holy Spirit and the leading of the Lord. Because as we teach and train our children to do that, again, they'll begin to grow and grow strong in the Lord. Now, to every parent listening, if you're not having your child to read out loud, you know, for obviously your children at home, if you're not having them to read out loud to you, my question would be, why not? You're busy, I'm busy, we're all busy, even our children are busy, but we can't get too busy to where we don't take care of something important like that, an important responsibility like that as well. I want to conclude with a powerful story I've shared before, but it's one, a story simply entitled, God Lives Under the Bed. I envy Kevin. My brother Kevin thinks God lives under his bed. At least that's what I heard him say one night. He was praying out loud in his dark bedroom, and I stopped to listen. "Are you there, God?" he said. "Where are you?" "Oh, I see, under the bed." I giggled softly and tiptoed off to my own room. Kevin's unique perspectives are often a source of amusement, but that night something else lingered long after the humor. I realized for the first time the very different world Kevin lives in. Kevin was born 30 years ago, mentally disabled as a result of difficulties during labor. Apart from his size, he's 6'2". There are few ways he is an adult. He reasons and communicates with the capabilities of a 7-year-old, and he always will. He will probably always believe that God lives under his bed, that Santa Claus is the one who fills the space under our tree every Christmas, and that airplanes stay up in the sky because angels carry them. I remember wondering if Kevin realizes that he's different. Is he ever dissatisfied with his monotonous life? Up before dawn each day, off to work at a workshop for the disabled, home to walk our Cocker Spaniel, return to eat his favorite macaroni and cheese for dinner, and later to bed. The only variation in the entire scheme is laundry, when he hovers excitedly over the washing machine like a mother with her newborn child. He doesn't seem to be dissatisfied. He lopes out to the bus every morning at 7:05, eager for a day of simple work. He wrings his hands excitedly while the water boils on the stove before dinner, and he stays up late twice a week to gather our dirty laundry for the next day's laundry chores. And Saturdays, oh, the bliss of Saturdays. That's the day my dad takes Kevin to the airport to have a soft drink, watch the planes land, and speculate loudly on the destination of each passenger inside each plane. "That one's going to Chicago," Kevin shouts as he claps his hands. His anticipation is so great he can hardly sleep on Friday nights. And so goes his world of daily rituals and weekend field trips. He doesn't know what it means to be discontent. Kevin's life is simple. He'll never know the entanglements of wealth or power, and he does not care what brand of clothing he wears or what kind of food he eats. His needs have always been met, and he never worries that one day they may not be. His hands are diligent. Kevin is never so happy as when he is working. When he unloads the dishwasher or vacuums the carpet, his heart is completely into it. He doesn't shrink from a job when it is begun, and he does not leave a job until it is finished. But when his tasks are done, Kevin knows how to relax. He's not obsessed with his work or the work of others. His heart is pure. He still believes that everyone tells the truth. He believes that promises must be kept, and when you are wrong, he thinks you should apologize instead of argue. Free from pride and unconcerned with appearances, Kevin is not afraid to cry when he's hurt, angry, or sorry. He's always transparent and always sincere, and Kevin trusts God. Not confined by intellectual reasoning, When he comes to Christ, he comes as a child. Kevin seems to know God, to really be friends with God in a way that's difficult for a quote-unquote educated person to grasp. God seems like his closest friend. In my moments of doubt and frustration with my faith, I envy the security Kevin has in his simple faith. It is then I'm most willing to admit that he has some divine knowledge that rises above my mortal questions. It is then that I realize that maybe he's not the one with the handicap. Maybe I am. My obligations, my fear, my pride, my circumstances, they all become disabilities when I do not trust them to the God who cares and loves each of us. Who knows if Kevin comprehends things I can never learn? After all, he spent his whole life in that kind of innocence, praying after dark and soaking up the goodness and love of God. And one day when the mysteries of heaven are open and we are all amazed at how close God really is to our hearts, I'll realize that God heard the simple prayers of a boy who believed that God lived under his bed. Kevin won't be surprised at all. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us to disciple our children every day. Thank you for the wonderful privilege of being able to teach them that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior for each and every one of us. Thank you for the opportunity to teach them how to walk with you, to teach them how to open the Bible and hear from you every single day. Thank you for the opportunity for us to teach them how to pray and talk to you and walk with you in prayer day by day. Thank you for the opportunity to teach them to come to you in times of difficulty or trial, to ask you for guidance, for wisdom, for help, and direction in time of need. Thank you for the privilege, the wonderful privilege and opportunity and responsibility to teach them that you're the answer to everything. Lord, help us as parents to be diligent to do our job. Help us to know, Lord, that it's a great responsibility, but a great opportunity to bless our children and point them to the greatest one in all of life and the greatest thing in all of life, knowing you and living for you. Thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercessions. We've been looking at the topic of the priority of discipling our children. We appreciate everybody listening in. Hope you'll take to heart the things that were shared. And remember, even for those of you that are parents-to-be, remember, you can't start too early praying and lifting them up in prayer. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession. Stay tuned for Stacy on the Right.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.